We must guard against being fooled by false slogans, such as right to work. It is a law to rob us of our civil rights and job rights. Its purpose is to destroy labor unions and the freedom of collective bargaining, by which unions have improved wages and working conditions for everyone. Quotation by Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. I'm Kevin Cook, and this week in labor history. Monday, January 6th, a strike was called at the Youngstown Sheet and Tube plant by its 8,000 workers on this day in 1916. The next day, strikers were joined by their wives and other family members on the picket line. Company guards attacked the crowd with tear gas and live fire, murdering 3 unarmed, peaceful strikers and wounding 25 others. On this day in 1970, West Virginia miners launched a wildcat strike to protest the murder of the Union reform leader Joseph Yablonski. Tuesday, January 7th, an explosion at the Osage Coal and Mining Company's Mine No. 11 near Krebs, Oklahoma, killed 100 people on this day in 1892. 150 more were also injured when an untrained worker accidentally set off a stash of explosives. IWW labor activist Tom Mooney was freed after 22 and a half years in jail on this day in 1939 when he was granted an unconditional pardon by California Governor Colbert Olson. Mooney was framed by a company agent and falsely convicted of murder in the San Francisco Preparedness Day bombing in July 1916. Wednesday, January 8th, the AFL Iron and Steel Organizing Committee ended the Great Steel Strike on this day in 1920. 400,000 steelworkers had been striking for more than 3 months, demanding union recognition. Workers were accused of being communists and un-American for wanting fair wages and less deadly working conditions. Teachers joined with striking students to oppose the Vietnam War in San Jose, California on this day in 1969. Thursday, January 9th. On this day in 1918, a commission appointed a President Woodrow Wilson that industry's failure to deal with unions was the prime reason for labor strife in war industries. The administration of George W. Bush declared that federal airport security screeners would not be allowed to unionize as not to complicate the war on terrorism on this day in 2003. The decision was challenged and overturned after Bush left office. Friday, January 10th, the Pemberton Mill in Lawrence, Massachusetts collapsed on this day in 1860, trapping 900 workers, mostly Irish women. More than 100 died, with scores more injured in the collapse and ensuing fire. Too much heavy machinery had been crammed into the building. It is still described as the worst industrial disaster in the state's history. Former AFL-CIO President George Meany died at age 85 on this day in 1980. The one-time plumber led the Labor Federation from the time of the AFL and CIO merger in 1955 until shortly before his death. Saturday, January 11th, the IWW organized Bread and Roses textile strike of 32,000 women and children began in Lawrence, Massachusetts on this day in 1912. IWW leaders Bill Haywood and Elizabeth Gurley Flynn helped lead the strike. It lasted 10 weeks and ended in victory. The legislature cut maximum working hours for women and children from 56 hours to 54 hours a week. And the employers had cut their pay along with the hours. The first mill workers to walk out were Polish women who, upon collecting their pay, exclaimed that they had been cheated and promptly abandoned their looms. Many were forced to send their children to live with supporters living in New York during the strike. On this day in 1936, nearly 2 weeks into a sit-down strike at GM's Fisher Body Plant No. 2 in Flint, Michigan, workers battled when they tried to prevent the strikers from receiving food deliveries from thousands of supporters on the outside. 16 strikers and 11 police were injured. The strikers were hit by buckshot fired from police riot guns. The police were injured principally by thrown nuts, bolts, door hinges, and other auto parts. The incident became known as the Battle of the Running Bulls. Sunday, January 12th, novelist Jack London was born on this day in 1876. His classic definition of someone who would cross a picket line and take a striker's job? After God had finished the rattlesnake, the toad, and the vampire, he had some awful substance left with which he made a scab. A scab is a two-legged animal and a corkscrew soul, a waterlogged brain, a combination backbone of jelly and glue. Where others have hearts, he carries a tumor of rotten principles. President John F. Kennedy signed Executive Order 10988 on this day in 1962, guaranteeing federal workers the right to join unions and bargain collectively. This Week in Labor History is compiled by Kevin D. Curtis. For KBMF, I'm Kevin Cook. Good day. Thank you.